Hi, folks. Sorry to be a couple minutes
Blog
late.
Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. Sorry to be a minute or two late. There were some technical difficulties, but we've got them covered now. Most people think that abundance and prosperity are the same thing. Nope. Abundance is something different, something much more fundamental. Today, we take a look at the basics of abundance. I'm Cliff the Change Agent, and this is Jump to the Next Level. Many people sense that something is wrong, like a dull ache just below the surface. The American dream doesn't seem to be working anymore. Not everyone gets a house with a white picket fence, a chicken in every pot, and more successful children. Are you working hard but can't make ends meet, even with two incomes? Do you see the steady rise in homelessness, hunger, and stagnation, despite the official statistics? Has chasing the American dream led to piles of debt and a rat race for jobs without meaning? Enough of this one-size-fits-all vision of happiness. The traditional worldviews simply don't have the frame of reference that can describe, much less understand, what's going on today. Those old frames of reference worked well enough for people old enough to remember World War II, but those default visions just don't cut it anymore. And traditional institutions like the media, schools, and government don't have anything better to offer either. It's time to jump to a new vision, a new American dream, because we are in a new era, a new age. The shift requires us to reimagine the way we work, play, grow, and interact with our surroundings. I call it the new economy. Instead of collecting more things, people will focus on awakening their full potential. That includes helping others and making sure that having enough is a sustainable lifestyle. Our vision has four pillars: health, sustainability, peace, and abundance. We make progress by focusing on projects that build up each pillar for a season: the summer of peace, the autumn of abundance, and so on. Everything seems to be in chaos because we are in the transition, several years into a multi-year shift, and the old systems are being overwhelmed. This show not only explores the new era and the transition, we engage with the solutionary doers and thinkers who are creating this next stage for the human race. Most important, we sketch out the blueprint for joining and thriving in the new economy. Don't get caught up in the drumbeat of tragedy that you hear in today's mass media. Jump on board and help us build the next level. I'm so glad you could join us tonight, and this is the beginning of our talk about abundance, and I'm really excited about that because this is a topic that I care about deeply, and also we're focusing on the topic of abundance during the autumn and calling it the autumn of abundance. I want to start by reading a passage from the book that was very influential in my thinking, and the book is actually titled Abundance: The Future is Better Than You Think. Imagine a world of 9 billion people with clean water, nutritious food, affordable housing, personalized education, top-tier medical care, and non-polluting ubiquitous energy. This is abundance, and creating it is humankind's greatest challenge. It is not about creating a life of luxury for everyone on the planet. Rather, it is about providing all with a life of possibility. The words of the authors Peter H. Diamandis and Stephen Kotler. As the title says, the future is better than you think. Before we dive into tonight's segment, I want to again pay tribute to the TED Talk that catalyzed the show. The clip I'm about to play reframes the old question, what do you want to be when you grow up? into terms for the new American dream. How do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm a journalist, so I like to look for the untold stories, the lives that quietly play out under the scream of headlines. I've also been going about the business of putting down roots, choosing a partner, making babies. So, for the last few years, I've been trying to understand what constitutes the 21st century good life, both because I'm fascinated by the moral and philosophical implications, but also because I'm in desperate need of answers myself. We live in tenuous times. In fact, for the first time in American history, the majority of parents do not think that their kids will be better off than they were. Is better off finding a secure job that you can count on for the rest of your life? Those are nearly extinct. People move jobs on average every 4.7 years. And it's estimated that by 2020, nearly half of Americans will be freelancers. Toll the funeral bells for everything that made America great. But are those the best measurements of a country's greatness, of a life well lived? What I think makes America great is its spirit of reinvention. In the wake of the Great Recession, more and more Americans are redefining what better off really means. Turns out it has more to do with community and creativity than dollars and cents. Now, if necessity is the mother of invention, I've come to believe that a recession can be the father of consciousness. It confronts us with profound questions, questions we might be too lazy or distracted to ask in times of relative comfort. How should we work? How should we live? All of us, whether we realize it or not, seek answers to these questions with our ancestors kind of whispering in our ears. So let's dig into this first question. How should we work? We should work like our mothers. That's right. We've spent decades trying to fit women into a work world built for company men. And many have done backbends to fit in, but others have carved a more unconventional path, creating a patchwork of meaning and money with enough flexibility to do what they need to do for those that they love. My mom called it just making it work. Today I hear life coaches call it a portfolio career. Whatever you call it, more and more men are craving these whole, if not harried, lives. They're waking up to their desire and duty to be present fathers and sons. Now, artist Anne Hamilton has said, labor is a way of knowing. Labor is a way of knowing. In other words, what we work on is what we understand about the world. If this is true, and I think it is, then women who have disproportionately cared for the little ones and the sick ones and the aging ones have disproportionately benefited from the most profound kind of knowing there is, knowing the human condition. By prioritizing care, men are, in a sense, staking their claim to the full range of human existence. Now, this means the 9-to-5 no longer works for anyone. Punch clocks are becoming obsolete, as are career ladders. Whole industries are being born and dying every day. It's all nonlinear from here. So we need to stop asking kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And start asking them, how do you want to be when you grow up? Their work will constantly change. The common denominator is them. So the more they understand their gifts and create crews of ideal collaborators, the better off they will be. The challenge ahead is to reinvent the social safety net to fit this increasingly fragmented economy. We need portable health benefits. We need policies that reflect that everyone deserves to be vulnerable or care for vulnerable others without becoming destitute. We need to seriously consider a universal basic income. We need to reinvent labor organizing. The promise of a work world that is structured to actually fit our 21st century values, not some archaic idea about bringing home the bacon, is long overdue. Just ask your mother. The most reliable wealth is found in relationships. The new better off is not an individual prospect at all. In fact, if you're a failure, or you think you're a failure, I've got some good news for you. You might be a success by standards you have not yet honored. Maybe you're a mediocre earner, but a masterful father. Maybe you can't afford your dream home, but you throw legendary neighborhood parties. If you're a textbook success, the implications of what I'm saying could be more grim for you. You might be a failure by standards you hold dear, but that the world doesn't reward. Only you can know. In the midst of such widespread uncertainty, we may in fact be insecure. But we can let that insecurity make us brittle or supple. We can turn inward, lose faith in the power of institutions to change, even lose faith in ourselves. Or we can turn outward, cultivate faith in our ability to reach out, to connect, to create. Turns out the biggest danger is not failing to achieve the American dream. The biggest danger is achieving a dream that you don't actually believe in. So don't do that. Do the harder, more interesting thing, which is to compose a life where what you do every single day, the people you give your best love and ingenuity and energy to, aligns as closely as possible with what you believe. That, not something as mundane as making money, is a tribute to your ancestors. That is the beautiful struggle. Thank you.
I think there's some key takeaways here. They are, first, focus on the fact that you can affect, focus on what you can affect. Try to ignore things that are out of your control. Second, understand your gifts, skills, and mission. Third, find and surround yourself with crews of recurring collaborators. And four, everyone takes a turn in a place of need and a place of being able to help others. Be humble about both. We will explore many of these concepts in future shows. So what about abundance? That's what this show's about. Well, everyone on the planet the idea is that everyone on the planet should have a life where basic needs are met and everyone has the possibility to reach their full potential. This may sound impossible until you think about how far we've come. In fact, I don't know if you noticed in the opening quote, they talked about 9 billion. That's because that's the projected population in just a few short years. But think about it. We've come a really long way in the history of humanity, and I just put together a short list of things that were considered just the way it is not too many generations ago. First and ugliest, there is no ugliest on this list. The first is plagues and influenza. Plagues ravaged the continent of Europe and killed 30 million people in the Middle Ages. The flu epidemic of 1918, not long after World War I, was just as deadly. We have flu epidemics now, but when a few hundred die, that's considered a horrible thing, not tens of thousands. Of course, through most of man's existence or humankind's existence, there has been just terrible ignorance. There's been high infant mortality. There has been that horrible institution of slavery. These things, not a few hundred years ago, or even 100 years ago in the case of air conditioning, were considered just the way it is. Think about how far we've come. So what are the main things that caused all this progress? Well, education, technology, freedom, and let's not overlook cheap energy. Each of these things are included in what's called the abundance pyramid. This is one of those points that I really, really wish I had a video so you could see it. But what I'd like you to do is imagine a three-tiered pyramid. There are three layers on three building blocks on the bottom, three building blocks in the middle step, and two building blocks at the top. You can Diamandis and Kotler describe this as a squashed update of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, or pyramid of needs. And I think that's a good description. The pyramid focuses on the individual because high-functioning individuals are critical to any thriving larger group, be they communities, regions, nations, or the entire world. Abundance is the idea that people matter, and it's fundamental to the idea of abundance. People matter. So let's start and build this pyramid. The bottom layer has three building blocks, and the three things that are in these blocks are the things that are required for the basic survival of the individual. They are water, nutritious food, and shelter. We believe that people can live on 5 liters of water a day, 2,000 calories of balanced nutritious food, and protection from the elements, especially with adequate light, ventilation, and sanitation. When I say water, I mean safe drinking water. Because of the water on the planet, only about 2% is available to drink, and we do a particularly poor job of taking care of that 2% water. The middle tier also has three blocks. These are considered catalysts for future growth. And they are energy, education, and information and communications technology. Energy has been what has allowed the industrial age to thrive. Energy is, whether you like it or not, critical to our society. We believe going forward we need to become more interested in renewable energies as opposed to fossil fuels, and I absolutely agree with that. But energy is key to abundance. Education is so important because that way you can learn what people before you knew, and that allows you to move forward. And this last building block in the middle phase is something that is relatively new, information and communication technology. By and large, that was not in the hands of the individual until just a couple of decades ago. But look at how far we've come in the age of the internet, which is the communications piece, and the age of personal computers, and more recently, cell phones. We have literally created a nervous system for the planet. So a lot of people ask why we should care about the whole world. Well, it pays double dividends. In the short term, it raises the standard of living. And in the longer term, it allows specialization and exchange, which are the greatest abundance assets in history. When we talk about raising the standard of living, people who are doing better tend to pollute less. They live longer, happier lives. Again, we come back to the core principle of abundance, which is the core principle that individuals matter. Two things in the top layer, and they're core requirements for enabling individuals to contribute to society. Those two core elements are health and freedom. Both of those are very fundamental, and in fact, we will be discussing health throughout the winter, because in our ideas, we focus on the winter of health. Next week's show, which I'll announce later on, is about freedom. again, the individuals matter. So what are the barriers to abundance? Well, I start with the idea of abundance versus lack. And this is really as basic as old versus new. The whole industrial economy was based on scarcity and the idea that you had to get stuff that you didn't have. Selling things, acquiring more. A whole mentality of lack was built up around that. Abundance moves us past lack when you know you have enough to provide for your survival and your potential. Of course, this is reinforced by the media. And they tend to always sensationalize the bad. As it's said in journalism, if it bleeds, it leads. And of course, there's the basic idea that the hole we're in today is too deep to dig out of. Well, that's a fear mentality. And fear and panic are both reinforced by the old ways of thinking. Fear and panic at a less ugly level tend to show up as cynicism and pessimism. And quite frankly, we humans are hardwired to panic. You know, the person who in caveman times, the person who saw the saber-toothed tiger and ran away survived. The one who said, "What me worry," didn't fare so well. Well, that's hardwired into our thinking now. There's also the whole idea that in today's world, we have a global exponential worldview. And again, our brains are hardwired more toward the local and linear thinking. Of course, it's very common that people have self-limiting beliefs. You know, we can't possibly have all the facts or outcomes, so we rely on rules of thumb called heuristics. Well, those are the basic beliefs that you have. And they tend to serve us pretty well. Can also lead to bias. And some of that bias is based on the belief that what is will always be. Hopefully, you've lived through the last 5 years and realized how much change there's been, and what is won't always be, and what isn't is likely to become every day in just a few years. One of the self-limiting beliefs is that we can't produce any more food without turning off old, you know, without turning old growth forests into farmland. And that's just certainly not true. It may, you know, in terms of self-limiting beliefs, it might be realistic to believe you'll never be an Olympic competitor, but it shouldn't lead you to believe that huge portion of the world's population simply must starve. The one thing does not lead to another, although self-limiting beliefs tend to let you believe that that's true. I expect to dive deeper into abundance, health, sustainability, and peace. If you rethink some of the assumptions that drive these basic self-limiting beliefs. Before we get to any callers, and I really hope to talk to some callers tonight, I want to talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor is Debt Hackers. Debt's one of the key ways that you become trapped in a version of the old American dream, the default vision, if you will, instead of the vision you choose. Houses, cars, and education are so expensive that almost everyone must take on debt to own them. Then the lender has a say in how you live your life because you must earn the money to make the payments. The whole economy is built on the quicksand of buy now, pay later thinking. This certainly extends to most big-ticket items with their inflated prices, since you may be making easy payments that seem small. They all add up to a trap that robs you of the choices that are the basis of the new economy. That's why I started Debt Hackers, to help individuals and families reduce the debt they already have and maybe even eliminate it. It's even better when we can help clients find alternatives to avoid debt in the first place. Does that sound good to you? Then visit debthackers.org and sign up now. Let's take a look. Okay, so no callers right now, but hopefully in a few minutes. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the exchanges that we talked about up in the second layer. You know, exchanges don't even have to be fair to benefit both sides. The idea of I make a suit of clothes for you and you make a suit of clothes for me doesn't really help. What helps is I'll make the shoes, you make the hats, and we trade. Or even better, I make the clothes, another person trains the horses, you grow the food, and we trade. Everybody wins, even when one side gets the better of the deal. We talked a lot about the fact that education allows you to stand on the giants of others. I want you to think about what may actually be the pinnacle of society, and that's the salad bar. You know, the lowly salad bar. Think about it. All those vegetables that come from all over the world, all those fruits and nuts that come from all over the world, think about the amount of transportation that went into that. Think about the people who had to have knowledge to grow all that food. Think about what it took to keep that food fresh. Also, they could be laid out on a bed of ice for you to pick and choose. It is really the pinnacle of modern society. And had there been no education, the farmer would have had to figure out how to grow lettuce all over again because there was no education on how to do it. The trucker would have had to, well, it would have been a car owner because there wouldn't have been mechanics to build trucks, would have to cart it. You would be limited to just the food that could be grown in about a two-day. Unless you lived on a river, you'd be within a two-day cart ride of all the production of your food. Quite limiting. Abundance actually happens or can happen in our lifetime, because we have new enabling technologies. It starts with the information and communication technology and one of its base principles called Moore's Law. And that sounds really basic, that the number of transistors that can fit on a chip double every 18 months to 2 years. But that computing power and that growing computing power has enabled whole new industries. It enabled the internet. It enabled the digital photography. It enabled things like more powerful computers. The computers that were aboard the Galileo spacecraft, which was launched in the 70s, wouldn't hold a candle to the cell phone that I'm holding right now. That's Moore's Law in action. And the cell phone in and of itself has powers that were unimaginable to our grandparents. The idea that you could Google the answer to a question instead of having to go to a library and look and look. I'm going to give you a list of industries that were enabled purely by Moore's Law. Genomics, in other words, sequencing the gene. The Internet of Things, which is the idea that we're going to have things talking to each other without people actively involved. Artificial intelligence, robotics, printing, and of course, the really wild one, nanotechnology. I'm still looking and I don't see anyone on the phone. In that case, I guess I'm going to go to the summary and summarize what we've talked about and then sign off. The idea of abundance is when everyone on the planet has a life where basic needs are met and everyone has the possibility to reach their full potential. The things we need to create abundance can be organized into a pyramid with three layers. The bottom layer contains things that are required for basic survival. The middle has things that are catalysts for further growth. The top has two core requirements for enabling individuals to thrive and contribute to society. The quote from the book Abundance. Imagine a world of 9 billion people with clean water, nutritious food, affordable housing, personalized education, top-tier medical care, and non-polluting, ubiquitous energy. This is abundance. And creating it is humankind's greatest challenge. It is not about creating a life of luxury for everyone on the planet. Rather, it's about providing all with a life of possibility. I urge you to read the book, Abundance. The future is better than you think. Everyone, thanks for tuning in.
I'm so grateful you chose to spend this time with me. Remember
that every one of us builds this new era one choice at a time. Start living now like it's already here. Commit a random act of kindness this week. Make healthy, sustainable choices. Choose peace. Choose abundance. Then celebrate your progress and passion. It is important to know that the future is in your hands. You create it through the choices you make in the now. See you next week.